Welcome to Waking Up with Melissa, a podcast that takes a deep dive into personal development, spirituality, and how to grow your online business. I'm your host, Melissa Ruiz, a spiritual and mindset business coach for all conscious healers out there. Stay tuned every week while I share insight on how to balance your business and also stay in alignment with your higher self. I truly feel that we all uniquely possess all the things we are seeking if we simply allow ourselves to surrender, to be present, and to take action in our lives.
Welcome back to another episode on Waking Up with Melissa, where we have my beautiful friend, sister, past student, Sam, also known as Simplifying Sam. She's a manifestation mindset coach, and she's really, truly here on a mission to help more people wake up, live their life as their full potential, authentic self. Sam, I'm just going to have you jump right in because you're right here. I'm not a fan of so many complicated intros. Tell us a little bit about what is the most triggering thing you hear about manifesting. Let's start there and then we'll see wherever the conversation unfolds.
Why? Hell yes. I love this. I love this intro. Me and you two fire signs just diving in right off the bat is so our energy. But the most triggering thing, which by the way, is not actually triggering anymore because I did the shadow work around this. So any sort of negative comments about manifestation, I don't actually get personally offended by. But one of the things that I want people to understand about manifestation is that when they say things like I'm not good at manifestation or manifestation isn't real, they're actually just simply explaining that they're a very powerful creator of non-preferred circumstances and or results. So something I want people to realize is that your suffering is an equal indicator of what a powerful creator you are. Right? You think negative thoughts, you believe them. You attract more negative thoughts like that. You believe those. You think those long enough and then you feel dense. You feel depressed. You feel anxious. You feel overwhelmed. From that place, you take certain actions and create certain realities that you can then observe. So your suffering is a beautiful example of how effing powerful you are. And if you could see that as an example of your power rather than an example of your non-power, you could actually reverse engineer that process. So what's happening in manifestation is we're really just creating a feedback loop. And the people who are believing that manifestation is not real are creating what I would call a negative feedback loop, right? They keep feeding this energy into themselves and their environment and therefore see things that reflect that. But that is, once again, equally indicative of your incredible powers to wield results and wield energy. And so basically what I do in my coaching program is we reverse engineer that process. This is something that you are already very skilled at doing. You just have not learned to become a conscious creator. And so I always say conscious manifestation or positive manifestation is like taking a self-driving car off of its automatic programming and schedule. It's like, I'm turning off this shit. I don't like where it's taking me. I don't like this destination. I am going to sit in the driver's seat now. I'm going to make every call for myself. I'm going to decide to go this way. I'm going to decide to be this person. I'm going to decide to create this rather than letting the programming sort of decide that for you.
I'm going to jump right in and probably say something really polarizing, but like, what do you mean things that are not real? Like, this is crazy. And I'm not saying it to you. I'm just saying in general, like, I think people that believe like manifestation's not real, like, let's even depict that sentence. Everything is real. Everything that you put your mind totally becomes. So it's like even just saying that sentence, it puts us in this place where we all of a sudden become the person that feels like we can't create our own reality. Like, what do you mean? Everything is possible. And just you even saying that creates, like you said, I love that you said this feedback loop, right? Like this negative feedback loop, which what ultimately takes us away from our power. This is the shit, humans. Like, we are the most motherfucking powerful beings, period.
Literally.
Everything, like not just us as a human species, but everything has higher intelligence. And so why are we almost playing ourselves small?
Right. I know. I really think of our brains, human brains, as the most highly advanced supercomputer. You have this supercomputer in your brain that can be used to basically create anything that you would like to observe, but it's like totally loaded with viruses and shit from you being conditioned, right? Like now this computer is not working. It's like slow, it's delayed. It has a bunch of programming on there that needs to be rewritten. But because you're not liking the results, it doesn't actually mean that the computer is bad, right? You're not a faulty creator. You have bad programming. So if my computer, for example, starts basically slowing down and not outputting the results that I want and clicking buttons and nothing's happening, I don't just throw away the computer. If I know anything about computers, I might reboot this computer. I might wipe the whole thing clean and then start over. The actual computer itself is perfectly functioning. In A Course in Miracles, it says that our emotions and our reality is a perfect system. What you put inside your brain is what is displayed on the outside. Same with computers. And so when we don't like our results, right, we start to blame things outside of us, people, situations, the weather, right? All of these things are creating our conditions when in reality, our reality is really just a reflection of what is going on inside. And so working with you and going deeply into my meditations and so many of my somatic practices have really helped me alchemize the inner, right? Deal with all the loose ends inside of me so that I'm not trying to fix those outside of me. And it's made my outer world so much more playful. I really feel that me and you are literally walking this earth as a playground.
Yes. Oh my God. Sag energy all day too. It's like everything is a big motherfucking adventure. And we were just saying this, like even before hitting record on the podcast, that life just gets to be so fucking juicy and so easy when you let go. When you let go of like, how is this supposed to work out? And like, how is this perfectly orchestrated or planned? Like, how is my business supposed to grow? Like, who am I supposed to be next or meet next? And it's like, I know that that's so hard, but humans, like, please understand that this is a part of the programming that Sam is talking about. We have been programmed to be fucking robots and minions. Like, it has been for a very specific purpose, because if, let's say, the government and, you know, just society wants us to keep us in this like worker bee mentality, guess what happens? Everybody stays in line. Everybody does as they're told. But
easy to control.
Exactly. And then here's the thing with manifestation and why I believe certain people try to demonize it, because anything that brings you back to your power is dangerous.
Yes. Yes.
So when we teach people to manifest, like, why would we ever think that the world is being created by like a shit show, like random gambling, you know, hand? No, we are literally creating every single thing by the thoughts that we think about. The thoughts that we think about become our beliefs, and our beliefs become our reality, whether you believe that shit or not. So, Sam, my question for you is, what's possible when we let go? What's possible in our business? What's possible when we just allow ourselves to be present? What kind of experience have you seen for yourself and also with your clients? Because I know that this is something that you work with your students.
Yeah, I really feel that we are in the work of expanding possibilities. How can we get first ourselves and then our communities, our clients, to think in terms of what is possible rather than what do I have to do? Right. And so when you ask me what is possible, it's crazy because my mind actually can't know that, really understands now that everything is possible. However, what I'm seeing reflected in my environment is simply a reflection of what my mind currently thinks is possible. So if we can go beyond this mind, which is really what I think it means to exit the matrix, right? How can you begin to think outside of the confines of your own mind? That's a pretty radical concept, because a lot of us think we can only know what we know, right? Or only work with what we know. But there is so much more than what you know in your brain, right? There's so much more to this universe than what's inside of your brain. Like, for example, all the languages, right? I can only speak a certain number of languages. It doesn't deny the existence of many other ways to communicate through other dialects. So when it comes to what is possible, the easy answer is everything. And my job is to adjust my awareness to that reality. It's not actually that this isn't possible and that is, or that's possible for them, but not me. Everything is in this now moment here for us and for the taking. And really my only job is not to confirm the possibility of anything, is not to wonder or introduce self-doubt, but really is to just adjust my compass to that already existent reality. I've been duped. I have been duped into believing that only a certain number of things are possible. I mean, I literally grew up either only be a doctor, lawyer, teacher, or firefighter. I thought there were like four jobs growing up. And I think a lot of people would resonate with that if you grew up like in the 90s, 80s, 90s. Like those were like the four things that people asked you what you wanted to be growing up, at least when I was coming up in middle school and elementary school. But, you know, now I'm really looking to call in all of these different creative opportunities. A lot of people are even defining for themselves what they are. It's not an even, not even a business title that you can, it, that comes pre-selected in the matrix, right? You're like a soul business entrepreneur. I'm a manifestation coach. We have a friend named June who's a life doula, right? Where are all of these things coming from? It's coming from the belief now that we're incorporating, which is that I can be anything I want to be. I don't have to choose something that was pre-selected. I don't have to be in alignment with every single person and system in the society. I can be, I am safe to be my own self. And I think that is what really spiritual entrepreneurship is allowing yourself to be fully seen as who you really are and not who you were told to be.
Ooh, let's get into spiritual entrepreneurship. I love this. Listen, we are creating fucking jobs. It's so crazy. We're creating titles. We are creating industries. Like, to me, it is such a beautiful time to be alive. You know, beautiful. I think so many people, they are so afraid of spiritually bypassing. And I think that is the thing that has these people in like almost a prison. Oh, you know, I want to talk about the trauma. And it's like, yes, and what's the gold? Because, you know, you take trauma and you turn it into something, right? You know that we tend to experiences and it only helps us become more of who we are. I think we're so defined by all the circumstances and the things that happen to us, and we hold on to them as if that is all we are. You see, for me, manifestation is God consciousness. Manifestation is
Christ consciousness.
My, you know, creating is part of just being connected to the entire system, to the entire network where there's limitless possibilities. So I just love that you mentioned that, like, growing up, there was four possibilities. And what are we stepping into now? We're stepping now into a new era. You know, if Eckhart Tolle was here, he would say new earth. And I do love this. But, you know, when I kept thinking about it the other day, I'm like, is it really a new earth? And I'm like, no, actually, it's the same earth, new humans. Same earth, new humans. Because, see, the consciousness of the planet, she knows what she's doing. She knows how she's expanding. But it's us. The more our awareness deepens, the more conscious we become, the better decision makers, and the more we connect back to our power. So it's us humans that are new, as Young Pueblo would say, young people. Yeah. We're young humans still. And so, like, we're still growing up in many ways. And so I just wanted to add that little nugget about manifestation, because for me, I think about the little girl that was 12 years old sitting in her fire escape, like wishing upon a star.
No.
And I didn't know it then, but it's such a powerful tool. And it's not a tool to bypass your reality. In fact, if you've ever worked with me, I'm like, bitch, feel the fear.
Feel
everything. But recognize and don't play yourself out. You are the creator of your reality, and don't let anybody who has a limited mindset based on their old reality tell you that you cannot, because that's how we keep ourselves small. So moving forward, how does this all play a part in the collective now? Do we feel what's happening, Sam, like with so many people creating new jobs, with so many people creating new titles, with so many people creating, there's also confusion. Have you felt into that? Like, there's this confusion as to like, but what do I do now? And who am I?
Right. Well, that what do I do question is still so rooted in the quote unquote old earth paradigm, right? Because we were constantly judging and measuring and rating ourselves basically based on what we do. Right? Rather than who we are, what our intentions are, what we are creating, right? Doing was this like sort of box checking energy. And unless you had checked all your boxes, there was a lot of insecurity and a lot of fear. By the way, you said definitely feel your fear. Yes. But also recognize that you created that. Like, you also created your fear.
Yeah.
So like, yes, absolutely feel that. But know that you created that to experience it. And so if you created your fear, you can also create your joy, you can create your peace, right? And all of those things happen through awareness. And so, yeah, there's definitely a change happening in the collective sort of air right now. People are seeing more and more examples of humans like you and I doing it authentically with no script, no pre-paved path. I remember at one of your last retreats, do you remember you had us pull the tarot cards?
Yeah.
And I got the one that said forge your own path or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
And it really turned the tables on me, because when you decide to fully be your true self, this is obviously not going to look like anybody else, because you are the only you. Therefore, everything you do, create, try to move towards or call into your experience will not have been done before the way that you were going to do it. You will literally have to forge your own path. And I remember that was last October. I was feeling a little bit stuck around like kind of what my next move was. I was like, is there a path? Like, I'm trying to follow a path. And that is the uncertainty you have to really befriend, because there is no path and there is no pre-prescribed sort of set of steps you need to take. But that is what the old world is so addicted to. It's like, okay, how many years am I going to go to school? Okay, after I finish secondary school, then I'm going to go to post-secondary. And then after that, I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to get a job. And then I'm going to work this many amount of years. And then I'm going to get married. And then it's like, we're all living these robotic sort of non-manual just printed lives. I really feel like we all are coming out of a factory of like social conditioning, and we're just all doing the same thing. And so we have to also find safety in being radically ourselves. And the only way we can do that is for us first to fully accept ourselves. Until I first fully accept myself, I'm going to be trying to garner the opinions of my parents and my friends and like, do you like me? Is this okay? No, I like me. That's all that matters. I like me. And if you don't like me, then this is going to create space for the people who will. And so I also find that in stepping into who I really am, I've also attracted the most effing incredible people, obviously you, right? Because you honestly, you would have not vibed with me 5 years ago or 6 years ago. You would have been like, what is this like matrix stuff girl? Like, what is she doing? Like, she's so afraid. Like, she's so not creative. She's just following the herd. You know, she's still listening to her mom's voice in her head. Right? All of these things we have to break out from in order to be our true authentic selves. And it can be a scary process. I will say that you go through a lot of ego deaths, right? You go through so many shedding of layers of basically the layers that society put onto you. And so I feel like my entire life has just been this unlayering process. Like, how do I remove this like self-worth judgment layer? How do I remove this layer of like religious conditioning? How do I remove this layer of like right versus wrong paradigm thinking? How do I remove this layer of like, I'm not creative? And so all of these layers are just like coming off, and I'm like, this is it. This is who I was supposed to be. And I truly believe there is no sweeter feeling than being your authentic self. You don't have to get it right. You don't have to make the most amount of money. You don't have to like be perfect. You just have to be you. And that is the sweetest experience as a human.
Yeah. And you don't even have to be anyone. You just have to shine through the truest version of who you know yourself to be, the godlike version of yourself. You know, sometimes even like this word authentic, right? It's like, let's be our authentic self. It's like, yeah, but even that, right? Like even that still has a layer of like, let me be this other thing. And it's like, mm-hmm. No, just be holy you, be the godlike you, be the truest version of who you can be. When you did this, I felt it, right? Like when we take off all of these layers and all of stigmas, we come back to our shining light. You know, and this is why I always remind people that we're two things. We're both the human dense part, but we are that shining light. We are that quantum you. Like that quantum you is the part of us that reminds us that we're not here to follow. We're not sheeps, and we have been sheeps. And this is why it's so hard for spiritual entrepreneurs. What you went through, what I went through, that's the initiation. Forge your own path to understand that it's not her that is a little bit ahead of me that I have to follow. And it's not him and it's not they. It's nobody. It's me. It's I'm the one. I am the one that gets to create the blueprint for me. And if people want to follow, that's great. But that's the thing. We were never meant to follow. And that's why spiritual entrepreneurs have such a hard time in this space, because we also come with that programming of who to yep. me. How can I follow them? And it's like, no, we're actually meant to lead. You're meant to lead. You are meant to lead yourself. And in leading yourself, you come mm-hmm. back to the truest state of who you are. Other people see that. They don't even understand what the hell you do, but they understand that you're being this light. And that light attracts more of those people who want that. And that's what is so powerful about this work. To me, it's not about business coaching. It's not about manifestation coaching either. I see you as a teacher. You are a teacher guiding people to come back home to themselves. And I want to just share this thing about fear because I know it's going to come up. You know, you said something about people create their own fear. And by default, then we can create our own joy. And I know somebody hearing this might say, what do you mean? No, I didn't create my own fear. They did. No, it was because they did X, Y, and Z that made me fearful. And here's the opportunity where we can get to asking, is life really happening to us? Or are we actually taking the steering wheel and driving life? So my question to you, Sam, is, do you feel like a lot of people have that energy where they're almost giving up their power to other people made me feel like this?
Oh my God. This is the primary pillar inside of my coaching, is that very, very important distinction between blame and responsibility. And I think that the Eastern mystics talked about this as well, but we get those two words conflated. We think if I am taking responsibility, then I'm wrong. I did something incorrectly. I'm blaming myself. No. Blame is the word for when we outsource our power to something. So I feel bad because you said that, or because the weather did that, or because the government did that. This is the reason that I am blaming my negative feelings on. Now, when we do that, we make ourselves powerless to this circumstance. Now, this outer circumstance has to change in order for me to feel okay. I don't have my own power to create that. Now, when I take responsibility, what I understand is that is a circumstance that's being projected in my reality as an opportunity for me to choose my own response. What will I respond to this relatively neutral event that I've superimposed my stories and my fears upon? How can I perceive this to be either helpful to me, expansive for me, like contributing to my evolution? And if I choose that perception, how will this change the way I create? And that is really what I'm looking for in people, is you don't have to believe that this is for you, but what results do you get when you believe that it's against you? Because in reality, all of our beliefs are relative. None of them are absolutes. And so you get to literally choose the ones you put into your brain. What will you choose to think about that person saying that? What will you choose to think about this person doing that? If you choose to see it as really reflections of those people's states of consciousness rather than meaning anything about you, you completely take your power back. Nothing, it has nothing to do with you, right? You don't have to spend your time like blaming those people or trying to figure out how to change those people. You just have to change your response to things. And it's amazing that my life began to shift radically without me changing anything outside. I just went on a hella inward journey.
Oh, yeah.
Until it became so clear to my body, my mind, my soul that, oh, things are different now. Like the way we perceive, I have a whole new lens covering my eyes, or maybe you can even say the veil has been removed. So I'm seeing everything so differently. I've created a quote unquote new reality because, frankly, even you and I are not living in the same reality. We're creating our own world through our own state of consciousness. And yes, there are a lot of people who are stuck in blaming other people for their state of consciousness instead of really reclaiming that.
Oof, reclaim, baby. Everything is happening from the inside out. You know, when this awareness of no one's thinking your thoughts, though, when that dropped into my body, I was like, whoa. Yeah, nobody's thinking my thoughts. And this is why I always come back to the science of yoga and the science of the mind, because that's what we learn to master. We learn to be a ninja of the mind. We learn
yes.
to be that conscious awareness that's looking
yes.
at the thoughts and almost laughing at. And you know, this is why a lot of teachers, a lot of spiritual beings that are sharing this work, if you actually listen closely, they're laughing most of the time because they.
Oh, yeah.
They actually get that the human experience is fucking funny.
It's so funny, dude. You know what? My greatest shadow work is not when I'm crying on the floor, like having this ego death, but when I'm literally cackling at like the illusion I created and that I believed in it so willingly. And like, oh my God, that's so silly. And I love how you said becoming a ninja of the mind. In my program, I say that we're becoming the bouncer of the club.
Yeah.
And the club is your brain. And it's like, I have to be a really good bouncer. Like when these like negative thoughts show up, when these like self-worth indicators kind of show up to the club, I'm like, you're not allowed in here. Like I'm looking for you and you can't come in here. It's like, you need a wristband to get in. And the wristband is high vibes, positivity, self-compassion, creativity, joy. You can choose these things. And I think it's frightening for people to realize that they have that power, because then they would have to acknowledge that they've had that power all along. And that is a very sad day. And it's a very empowering day at the same time, because I remember when I realized, fully realized, I create everything. I create this entire world. That's amazing. I can't believe I have these creative powers and I've ignored them for so long. But then there's, oh my God, I had these creative powers and I ignored them for so long. Yeah. But then we remember that the past isn't real and that's okay. We can just move on with the information that we have now. So, you know, it is frightening to come to realize your power because you've been wielding it in a very ineffective way. But that's the past now. You know what you know now. And that also happened for you. You needed to experience your disempowerment to really know what your empowerment also looks and feels like.
This reminds me that everything's real and nothing's real. You know, time, where we were, everything is just such an illusion. Like, literally, I think, let's go back to that feedback system. I think that was such a beautiful analogy that you brought in. And that's just all it is. Like, life is literally giving you a feedback system of all of your thoughts. So for me, in practicality, when I see my thought, when I see my reality, and I see that things are happening the way that I wanted, I'm like, yes, that worked. Keep going. When totally. I see it in front of me, I'm like, wait, this is an opportunity for me to examine what have I been thinking about? Like, what have I never take it personal. I'm never like, you're bad at X, Y, Z. I'm like, oh, wait, I've had some sneaky thoughts come up in here. I have not been a good bouncer. I let some
people in. You know, I love this because I really think of reality creation, like I said earlier, as that perfect system. It's innocent. Reality is innocent. It is not trying to harm me. It's just showing me me. It's like, it's just there to show me, this is what you've been thinking. This is what you've been energizing. So like you said, I used to get very, very upset when I didn't like what I was seeing. And then I would go to blame people outside of me. You know, partner created this. It's the business that created this. It's this that created this, so that I don't have to take responsibility, because, I mean, that takes work. That takes intention. But now I see things as unfavorable, let's just say. Sometimes I don't even do that, though, because even when I'm perceiving it as bad, I wonder if that's just a failure of my own perception. But if I do see something and I'm convinced that it's bad or unfavorable, I really do see that as an opportunity, a crack and a window into my subconscious. What was it that created this? Because this is not here to terrorize my life, to victimize me. This is just showing me that I'm a powerful creator. Every single result shows me that I'm a powerful creator. And me creating quote unquote positive or favorable circumstances are just showing me that I am taking very, very conscious control of that process.
Yes, I love that. This just reminds me that our mind is such a beautiful algorithm, bringing it back
to
our analogy. And I probably have said this to you, but I say this to all of my students. And so if you're listening, this will be very familiar to you. Your business is not doing anything to you. Like,
It's not the mirror.
It's just a mirror. And I love what, you know, our students come and they're like, this is not working. It's the funnel. It's the this. And I'm like, that is not doing anything to you. This is a feedback system. This is just showing you the places that you're still holding on to, whatever thing that you're holding on to. Maybe it's people pleasing. Maybe it's perfectionism. Maybe it's you're wanting it to be in a rush. You know, whatever it is that you have, you continuously still are playing out that same reality in your business, in your relationships, wherever you go, until you bring your awareness to it. Only then the opportunity to change. So for me, it's like, it's not so much about like unfavorable. Life is so fun and it's so exciting. Like, so can you imagine, like, we have the opportunity with our mind to be like, I want to go to Bali. I want to go to Africa. I want to become a manifestation coach. I want to become a zillionaire. Like, as long as you do not introduce resistance and doubt, you will always, always create that. The problem is you don't believe it. And that makes me so sad. And I'm saying it for me too. The only reason why I have not been and gone as far as other places that I imagine in my brain is because I'm holding on to a belief.
Yes. I know.
Everybody, we're not exempt from this, guys.
No one's exempt. And when you see someone outside of you who is really, to you, expansive or doing something beyond your wildest dreams, right? That to me is really just a person who has expanded their possibility thinking and has eliminated the most number of beliefs. They don't have special capabilities. They don't have an edge over me. They just have less conflicting beliefs in their mind about that thing. And I think what's really, really, really important is that you get around people who already hold those beliefs, the frequency of those higher beliefs, so that they render your limiting beliefs almost useless and like different. You know, I'll never forget, and this happened also when I was in your container, but when I initially became a realtor, I was new to the business, and I remember I had this goal of I just wanted to get to like six figures. Before that, I'd never made more than like $10,000 in my life. I'm not even kidding. So for me, this was a huge jump. Like, maybe 70K, six figures, I'm lucky. And I remember getting into groups with some high-performing agents because I wanted to learn industry secrets, you know, how do I build a profitable business, all this stuff. And then they would ask me my goals, and I would say, oh, I really want to make six figures. And they're like, six figures, that's it? They're like, that's all you want? That's such a small goal. Like, that's not even worth working towards. Like, you'll just make that by just not showing up every day. Like, you don't even need to introduce any strategy into that. And I'm not saying that to reduce that amount of money. Obviously, it's a considerable amount, but it just made me realize, like, oh, this belief is actually not shared amongst a certain number of people. Like, it made me realize I don't have to keep that belief. Like, and the only thing keeping me from their level of quote unquote achievement is that thought. That's it. And so I always tell my clients, you're literally one thought away from everything you want. Because as soon as you move that thought out of the way, the path becomes clear. You're in the way. Resistance is not actually in the world. Resistance is in you. There is no resistance on Earth. Earth is flowing. Earth is constantly in motion. You do that. You do that with your thoughts. You do that with your emotions. And so when I experience resistance, I'm really just now like, oh, okay, like there's something here for me to let go of, not something out there that I need to change. And that's where people get it so twisted. They're like, I'm experiencing resistance. Or like, I don't like this. I need more money.
I need to change it. I need to do something. And that's where people get the burnout. It's like, you're burned out. You're burned out because you're not trusting the universe. Because if you really trust the universe, you would stop working so hard, honey. Okay?
It's like, so true.
The reason why you keep working so hard is because you actually really don't believe in the quantum you. You don't believe in the version of you that's connected to limitless possibility. Because if you did, you would learn that you're closing. And so every time we have resistance, and this is why I always say, make fear your bitch. It's always been my quote. And I love that you brought in, you're one thought away. Like, you're literally one thought away from living your best life. And I don't mean that lightly. I mean it.
We really are.
Yeah. And I think so often people get triggered when we say high vibes, or when we say come in with positive thinking. They automatically almost shut down, as if I'm not saying don't ever not be high vibe, but just think about it. If you keep thinking negative, what kind of life will you create? And if now you have the power to change it, why wouldn't we try extra hard to think good thoughts?
Like 100%. But I think the resistance, what I've learned, the resistance to that is that people are so identified with the unconscious thoughts. So then they feel bad that they're thinking negative thoughts. What I've been able to help people realize is that you're not thinking that. Your brain is just patterned to give you those thoughts. So then who you are is the person that becomes aware of that. Bouncer, ninja, if you will, right? And so you don't have to feel bad about thinking negative thoughts and try to justify why you have reason to think those things. You're not thinking them. Your brain is just kind of throwing that out there. It's like hearing a song in your head that just randomly comes into your awareness. You didn't pick that per se. It just kind of is coming. Yeah, it just comes through. So if you could see, exactly, if you could see your negative thoughts like that, like a mosquito or something, you don't have to feel bad that a mosquito came in or that song came on in your mind. You can just then notice and then choose differently. That's all you have to do. You don't have to actually banish negative thoughts. Just notice when they're there and then choose differently. And then your brain will eventually get the signal that, oh, she doesn't pay attention to those. It's exactly like the algorithm. She doesn't need these anymore. And I remember when I was still working with you, there was a couple times where you kept trying to bring me back to the present. And I just kept wanting to go to the past. I'd be like, yeah, but that. And you were like, no, it'd be like me continuously liking and sharing an image that I don't want to see.
Yeah.
That's just going to keep coming up on your timeline. Like, you liked it and shared it 40 times. It's going to keep coming up with similar content like it. And so now I know when I see something I don't like, I just swipe past. It's like, I don't have to do anything more than that. I don't have to be like, why did this show up on my timeline? Just like, why did this show up in my brain? I just don't really engage with it. And then eventually the algorithm, my brain, my mind will get the signal that like, oh, she doesn't pay attention to that stuff. And then eventually your unconscious will be positive, which is when the vibe like really shifts, when your natural automatic thoughts are like good. Because so many of us wake up immediately negative thought. Immediately, oh my God, like fuck this day. Immediately, oh my God, I hate myself and I'm so tired. Oh my, immediately, I'm so worried about my problems. But when you begin to shift that process consciously, eventually unconscious will take over because frankly, your brain wants to be efficient. It doesn't want to take energy to think all the time. It wants to have systems and automaticity in place. It's like systematizing your business, right? Yeah. It doesn't want to do that every single time. So eventually your brain will just catch on. And the most magical thing for me has been it's on board with kind, creative thoughtfulness. And I don't have to fight with myself as much. But of course, in the beginning, that's when you have to do the most work because you're changing a pattern.
Yes, I love that this, you know, I wanted to share that this work takes time. You know, everything takes time, not because of like actual time and it existing, but because of practice, but because of discipline. And again, you know, I always refer back to the yamas and the niyamas and the yoga philosophy, but this is what it really teaches you, that after years of mastering the mind and doing things that you don't even really understand that work, later the work works. And it happens in, you know, the craziest way. Like, it's not like today I'm gonna be positive. It's just you every day choosing to train the mind to see the silver lining. And then that does become your baseline. And that honestly is how we become more of these upgraded beings. Humans, wherever you're at, you're not far gone.
You're so close.
You're so close. I still remember the version of me that was like sitting in my old house, crying, drinking Newbums, you know, drinking Hennessy and smoking Newports. And I probably was drinking Newports too.
Yeah, so we were so ratchet.
I was so ratchet. And, you know, I still honor that version of me, but that part of me needed to exist so that this part of me can emerge. And so wherever you're at, if you're listening into this message and you're like, that feels so far away, like Sam said, you're one thought away, and then add practice. And when you feel like the practice isn't working, practice more. And when you're wondering why you've been practicing for 3 years and it's still not working, detach yourself from even wanting anything. You see, that's where the actual magic is. It's doing the work and then not needing anything after that. That's so
good. Yeah, that's full on play, right? Because when you are a child and you are in play, there is no outcome-based decision or engagement. This isn't outcome-based. It's present moment experiential awareness and enjoyment. And so when you detach, you get to really re-merge with that state of non-expectancy, lovingness, right? Awareness. There is nothing that needs to actually come from this. And I think that was the biggest mistake, which wasn't a mistake. It was a learning opportunity. But at the beginning of my spiritual entrepreneurship, it was like, how do I make sure that what I'm doing now will get me to over here where I want to be, whether it was where like you were, where someone else was. And that was the completely incorrect paradigm with which to pursue my business, because spiritual entrepreneurship at the end of the day will always be about service. So this is not, how do I make money for myself? And that's not spiritual entrepreneurship. I do the inner work on myself. I secure myself. I tap into my own abundance. And then my product suite, whatever my offers are, whatever my creations are, those are actually for the purposes of serving my community and the collective. Those aren't for me. Those get to be channeled by and through me. I hopefully get to enjoy them as I create them and hold the frequency of them, but they are for other people. And so there is, of course, an energetic exchange for that. And we can call that money, right? That's how people end up making money. But as soon as someone tries to make money for themselves, you got it all twisted, because it's an equal exchange that needs to happen for that, right? We have to be service-led. And like I said earlier, the only way you can get to a service-led place is by doing the inner work on you, because you're not feeling good with yourself. And you can't abuse your business to make it feel good, to make that good about yourself.
Okay. This is what I always say. Stop pimping out your business, okay?
And don't pimp out yoga either. Don't pimp out meditation either.
Don't pimp out anything and be the walking testimony of your work. People always come to me, they're like, how do I not feel like a fraud? Well, just be who you really are online, in real life, and sell the things that you really do. Try your best, and that's all you have to do. And you just walk the road of being honest. That's it. Don't try to be anything. I'm on the road of unbecoming anything I even ever thought I was. Like, it's all good. Just be a walking testimony to your work and understand that the work takes time. And that's it. And you put it out there. I love that you said the product suite. The product suite are our offers, the things that we get to, you know, share with the collective. But, you know, I just want to add this part too, that as we lead, and as we share this medicine, we become more of who we really are as well. Don't you feel that? Don't you?
Yes, you know what I'll say is, I mean, you've witnessed me become more of myself, right, over the past year. And I've been able to witness my clients step into the same frequency because a lot of them are basically uncovering their blocks to being their most creative, authentic selves. And so now they're creating things. They're creating podcasts. They're creating all kinds of amazing offerings. And they've had to really tap into who they are. And it's only when they are around people who are being fully themselves that they're like, oh, this is safe. Like, and that's actually why I ended up working with you, because I remember meeting you and just thinking, this girl's on something else. I don't know what drug she's taking. She's on the drug of life, with the drug of abundance. And I need that. I need to be that. I don't want to use the word unhinged because that sounds negative, but I mean it in a positive way. Like unhinged from society, like unhinged from rules and expectations, right? Like fully, fully hinged to my soul is what that really means. And I really feel that people are stepping into that more. And it has been a really glorious process. And I was also letting them know recently that when you actually take the courageous leap into creating something or a business that is reflective of the true you, like you've told me many times, all your shit gonna come right up because there's nowhere to hide anymore. Invisibility cloak off, it's time. And yeah, it was the most rapid catalyst for me to step into this version, was to decide I was gonna create a business and show up as me rather than a version of me, a watered down version of me, a tiny version of me. It was just, oh my God, it was the craziest chrysalis I'd ever emerged from.
I love this. And I always say that, you know, our soul business is an initiation into our soul, because
it is,
especially with soul entrepreneurship, because by definition, you let go of the meat suit.
Mm.
The real estate agent anymore. I'm not the producer. Like, I'm not playing the role. I am being the truest, holiest, godlike version, unhinged. I love that you said unhinged to my soul version of who I am. I'm being the quantum me. I'm being the expanded version of me. And so each and every time we create, we're stepping into that arena. We're stepping into that arena of, does this still feel good? Did I change my mind? Have I upgraded so much that this doesn't even resonate with me anymore? And this is the thing about being a conscious creator. Some of your stuff, you will not resonate with it anymore, because we're growing. We are on this fast growing train. I look at myself and I had to re-record an entire freaking program because I'm like, who is that person? I don't even talk like that anymore. I have to re-record this whole thing.
I know. Sometimes it's so cringy looking at my own timeline and feed because I see the old versions of me. But the reason why I don't delete anything is because I remember that my intention is the same, right? My intention behind that video a year ago, even though I'm an evolved version of myself, is still pure. And so I'll save it. But I don't even put the pressure on myself now to call myself coach, writer, speaker. These are things that I'm embodying currently, but I'm also okay with evolving out of that. Like, who knows? Maybe one day I just totally switch gears and I don't want to do that anymore. And I would respect and honor my soul telling me that. So yeah, it's just a gnarly experience being honest to your soul.
Being honest to your soul, I don't delete anything from my timeline either, because I believe that it's a good teaching lesson for our students. But I have for sure gone into my old program, Unleash and Unveil Your Soul Business. They know, I think it was round 5. I'm like, okay, I need to upgrade this. Like, this has been here for a while. And I think, you know, ultimately this conversation is leading us to just follow your heart. And as things change, don't allow yourself to feel so like pinned to the wall with your title. We're always changing. And so to me, it just sounds so crazy to pick a title and feel like we need to stick to it. No, writer, creator, human, it's all good. Like keep evolving and understand the parts of us that want that. You know, you said something beautiful before. You were like, you know, I had the hardest time when I was trying to figure out how do I become that person like that? That's the part where we get to let go and we have that beautiful opportunity. It's a teaching.
Totally. And it's only ever an illusion that keeps us in the fear that I can't change, that I must remain the same. You know, we have a very beautiful mutual friend, Danielle, who, you know, she pursued medicine for all those years. And I've talked to her personally. You've talked to her personally about how much fear there was in just letting that identity go. But she's now stepping into a more true and authentic identity. But I don't think that means that she wasn't meant to do that, right? It completely and totally informed her experience now, her target audience now, her everything now. And so, yeah, when she was able to courageously acknowledge that I'm going to be safe stepping out of this, I'm going to do it with shaking knees. I'm going to do it scared out of my, I'm scared of shit, but I know that it's worse to stay. And I think sometimes people have to get to a point where things actually get bad. And I don't wish that upon anyone, but until things actually become pretty unbearable, you may not feel motivated to actually take action. I think one of the killers of amazing lives, amazing creations, is just mediocrity, this like sort of safety in enoughness. And there's a sense of enoughness that's like the abundance enoughness. And then there's like the lack enoughness, right? Where it's like, oh, this is enough and I'm scared to kind of mess things up and I'm just going to keep things as they are. And if you can kind of float in there for, I mean, people have floated there for the entirety of their lives, sometimes decades and decades and decades. But for me, I just got to a point where it felt unbearable. And I think that that's happening sooner and sooner and sooner for our generation. Like Gen Zs are totally intolerable. Like they get a shift added to their schedule and they're like, I'm out. Like, I'm out. Like they have zero tolerance for anything not in alignment. Whereas my generation, millennials and my parents' generation, we were kind of entrained to deal with those things and sacrifice. Yeah, self-sacrifice and self-abandon. But people are doing that less and less and less. We are becoming deeply uncomfortable with not being true to ourselves. And I think that has to happen in order for people to actually courageously step into it, because they have to experience how bad it is not to. That contrast is such a teachable moment.
Yes, man. I wish there was another way, but I only know spiritual takedowns for me. And we talk about this in your podcast.
Your ritual body slams.
It's like sometimes we just gotta see ourselves at the bottom of the barrel, know that we can crawl up to understand like, oh wait, I was a bad bitch the whole time. Like I just couldn't see it. And you know, I really want to end this podcast by sharing that there's nothing wrong with asking for more. I think we're also these type of beings that like, you know, just give me a little bit and I'll be fine. No. And I learned that through my own mentoring. Like, no, like, stop being cheap with yourself. And even that, like, people have a problem when I say that. They're like, what do you mean? Yeah, stop being cheap with yourself. Like, stop giving yourself pennies. And I actually remember this conversation with one of my mentors when I was first getting ready to pay myself. And I was like, okay, how much should I pay myself? And she was like, how much do you want to get paid? And I was like, I don't know. I just think, and I just started stuttering. And I'm like, I just want to pay myself enough to pay my bills. And she was like, no, take that back. What do you know?
No.
And I was like, wait, but like, that's all I need. And she's like, no, that's not the energy. It's not about the peanuts that you can live off of. It's about you expanding into what do you want? And that conversation shifted so much for me because it gave me the permission to be like, oh yeah, like I can be a zillionaire or a billionaire or a millionaire because I want. I can also only live off of 5K if I want. Like, there is no right or wrong. And I think we need to stop shaming people. Stop shaming people for the type of abundance that they want to experience in their life. Because when we experience something in our life, it's not for us to take it into another lifetime. It all goes bye-bye when you die. It's becoming this other version of yourself. And through that experience, we continue to expand. You know?
Yes. I'll never forget our conversation at Quantum U, which was like literally entering another vortex. But I think I remember saying in that conversation that it's really not about what I get, it's about who I become. And people who are in lack look at people in abundance and think, why do they want all that stuff? Like they're so greedy, like they're so shallow, they're so materialistic. And I'm like, I don't really give a fuck about this stuff. Like, this stuff is just a reflection of how abundant I am on the inside. I get to experience having all this stuff, but I didn't do this for the stuff. Like, I don't actually need anything. And I think you and I really share that. I know that when you were becoming a yoga teacher, you lived with really bare minimum and found completeness and wholeness within yourself. And I know for a fact with myself, I have been some of the happiest, most wholesome times have been when I didn't really have very much. And that's actually when I learned, like, I can actually survive with very little. Like, I don't have to have a bougie apartment. I don't have to have a nice car. I just get to. Why the fuck not? I get to, but I don't need it. I could ride a scooter. I could run to work. I could bike to work. I don't need all this stuff. But you know what? I want to create these experiences for myself. And I think that that's really what we're here to do on Earth. This is just experience how creative we are. Yeah. Like, can you create the experience of driving your dream car? Can you create the experience of running your dream business? Not necessarily to make $1 million.
Oh,
right. But it's really just to know that you fucking can.
Yes.
Like, I can't. I don't have to. But it's really fun knowing that I can.
Yeah. And I love that. I always remind myself, and just in general, it's like, I'm not here for money. I'm not here for the K's or the thousands or the millions or the billions. But you know what? Like, the things that you get, they are attracted to you. It's not like,
I know.
It's not like I get to do it just because. It's like, no, they literally find their way to you because, you know, we're not going to get too into it. We'd have to record podcast part two. But like, this is about vibration. This is about when you feel good and when you take care of your mental hygiene, when you take care of your emotional hygiene, your spiritual body, when you start to take care of all of your bodies, you change vibration. And I know that this may be difficult for some people who are like, I'm not into manifestation or I don't understand this. You don't have to understand it. The thing is that we're all made up of energy. So whether you fail to realize this or not, we are all on a very cellular level vibrating. And the truth is, when you do vibrate at this higher speed, no matter what, these things will find you.
It's law. It's law.
Yeah, it's law.
It's law. It's literally law. And that has been one of the most comforting things on my journey, because I don't have, it's like the law of gravity. I don't have to actually know how to explain why my effing feet stay on the ground. I just know that it does, and I don't have to worry about it. And so knowing that this vibrational law of attraction is law, I really just have to worry about my state of being. Everything else does its thing naturally. It's a perfect system. There are no exceptions to the law. And so if you are seeing things that you don't like, amazing. Since there are no exceptions to the law, change your state. That's change it. That's what Tony Robbins said, is what Abraham Hicks said, is what Jesus said.
Everybody did.
Every Buddha said it.
Yes.
Said it.
Change your mind, change your life. And talking about change your mind, change your life, how has manifestation changed your life?
Oh my God. It has been, you know what? This is so, I'm going to use your favorite word, gnarly. But I uncovered a journal that I wrote in 2 years ago. So in 2021, I had not started my TikTok. I had a very like meager Instagram following that was just like me posting pictures of myself and my dog. It wasn't my higher calling or exemplifying anything that I was trying to give to the world. And something moved me. I think it was my birthday, because my friend gifted me this journal for my birthday. But something moved me to actually think about who I want to become. And I think that's a process that everyone should be very intentional about, because if you're not choosing who you want to become, then the identity is being chosen for you, right? By society, by your peers. Okay. Yeah, like if you're not choosing, it's choosing you. So take that power back, right? But 2 years ago, I wrote in this journal that it was a letter basically for my future self. And in the letter, I wrote, I'm so proud of the person that you are becoming, the leader that you are becoming. You have truly stepped into your purpose and you've helped millions of people. And there was a few more lines in there, but I just cried because I thought, how did I know? How did I know? Because I had no mental, remember how we talked about how everything's possible? I just had to catch my mind up to that. So my mind at that point literally could not fathom millions of people watching my videos. I think millions of people have watched them, which is wild to think about. I can't even conceive like 10 people liking anything. And so, or 100 people, but millions of people. And I just read that and thought, I created this. Like, I created the instructions. Like, I wrote down in the journal, like, what I want to see and how I'm going to feel about myself and who I'm going to become. And I just, it was so such a touching moment because I just wanted to go back and, like, tell her 2 years ago. I'm like, we did it. We did. But then I remember that she's, like, with me now. And so I just, like, hug myself. But, you know, we are literally just creators. And I feel amazed to integrate the knowings that I think were actually present as a child, but with more conviction now. So as a child, even, I was writing books. I was, like, pretending to be a novelist as a kid. And I was really obsessed with quotes and, you know, just thinking and using my writing and my speaking. And I even was in, like, debate competitions. Like, I was always speaking. And now that I'm looking back on all of that with the sort of experiences I have to reflect that now, I'm like, I always knew. I was lying to myself for a decade about everything I knew when I came into this world. Like, I fully chose this incarnation, I believe. And I was like, these are your chosen gifts. Figure out how to use them so that you can help the collective. Really, I think that's what we're all here to do. And I forgot. You know, I was writing as a kid. I was speaking and performing as a kid. And then I got really serious about, like, making myself, you know, like everybody else and doing it right. Yeah, and I thought I was gonna have a corporate job. I would literally, like, drop dead if I had a corporate job. But that's what I thought that I was supposed to do. And so now I can look back and really see, like, this was always the truth. I just couldn't see it.
I love that you said that whole story. I was looking at the whole time and it was like 444 in my head as you were talking about manifestation and all the things that you were just, like, exuding out of you. It's just so beautiful to see and witness your growth. And I know we personally have not known each other for an entire lifetime, but for sure it feels like an entire lifetime. It has just been so juicy and amazing. And if nobody's told you lately, I'm just so fucking proud of you, Sam. I really am. You are who you say you are. And that's so beautiful. And for those who feel like I still have contrast, just know those are your badges.
Oh, yeah.
You all have contrast.
And those are your badges.
Those are your badges. And I know that sometimes when we're in those lows, it feels so bad. It's like, how can I get there? Well, the way you can get there is by not wanting to be there. The way you can get there is by understanding that you can't be anywhere else besides the place that you are now. When you fully accept yourself in the very now moment that you're walking in, that's how you actually get there. It's so interesting. All of these concepts, it's like your brain cannot fucking understand them. Like, you just literally have to live it. You just have to slingshot yourself into the universe.
Yes. I always tell my clients that there is a beautiful space between knowledge and integration. Like, knowing these things as facts and reading those books and taking those courses, but then moving into the embodied knowing where you don't need to even refer to the books. You don't have to repeat the affirmations. It lives by and through you in the body. And that does take some time. And my highest recommendation for anyone is to get around people who are already holding that frequency, because they will bring you up there. You can't stay low. You just can't.
Be around those who expand you, which, by the way, I'm so excited that this podcast has been just such a vibe. And I want people to know how they can work with you, how they can find you, how they can binge all of your work, how they can be in community with you. Please let our listeners know how they can find you.
Okay, awesome. So a couple different ways you can engage with me. Obviously, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at simplifying.sam. Join my social media. I say social, SOULCIAL media. You can follow my podcast. I have a podcast with my close friend Gina. It's called Spiraling Higher. Very similar topics to this: manifestation, consciousness, spirituality, inner child healing, all of that. And I also have a free online community. So if you go to the link in my bio on either one of my platforms, you'll see an opportunity to click on a link where you can create a free account and join the dialogue. I've been having lots of conversations, people like Melissa, people like my co-host, and all my guests. But I really wanted to start the dialogue with my followers, with my like-minded soul and people. And so that's where you can basically hang out with me. And I actually host free monthly community calls every single month. So that
what?
Even if you
Wait,
can't afford...
What?
Yes, we have one tomorrow. Well, I don't know when this will be released, but we have one on April 30th. But I also have my coaching container called Massive Manifestation. We are currently in session. So the way to work with me right now is by being inside of the community for free. And then you would be the first to know when I open up for enrollment again.
Oh my God, humans, you better not walk, literally or run, and be near Sam's energy. It's such a privilege. It's so
Bormels.
Yeah, or anybody that you feel excited, anybody that you feel makes you fucking believe in yourself, anybody that feels
that's,
like
that's the right person, person that makes you believe in yourself. That's who you should get around.
Yes. Sam, thank you so much for hopping on. Only you on a Saturday can get me to do a fucking podcast because
I was shocked.
I've never done this before, okay? But I fucking love you. And I want our listeners to sink their teeth into your words, into your medicina, into your light, into what you do, because it's so wholesome, it's so pure, and it is here to help move forward the consciousness of this planet. And that's the conversations that I get excited to have. It's like, what good thing do we get to leave behind? Not the things that we get to take with us, but what good thing did we leave behind? So thank you for reminding me of that. I love you so much. I cannot wait to see you, humans. I will see you on the next episode of Waking Up with Melissa. Namaste. Go with peace.
Thank you.
Breathe.